You're welcome to Bible study. Let's close our eyes to pray. Commit yourself to the Lord this evening, that as His word is coming, the word will mix with faith in you and will do you good. Pray. Bible says, those that seek the peace of Jerusalem, they shall also dwell in safety. Let's pray for our land, that God will give us the winning streak, and that we shall experience progress in our land, in our lives, in Jesus' name. Father Lord, as we listen to your word this evening, we pray that you speak to each and every one of us. The entrance of your word gives light. Let your light shine upon us in Jesus' name. We thank you because we know you have answered. Our hearts will be receptive to your word in Jesus' name. Amen. Good evening. So I'll be speaking to us this evening on what I titled, Winning Through Grace. Winning Through Grace. You agree with me that it is only by the grace of God that you can actually win. The headwinds of the economic activities, insecurities, and all the things that are happening around the world, not just Nigeria alone, across the world. I was talking to a friend of mine in Canada this morning, and he was telling me the issues they were having across UK, US, everywhere, countries fighting against each other. So it is only by grace that we can actually win. Winning requires a shift, which sometimes comes from a fresh start. So at times, you must have been trying some things in different ways, and it seems you are not making headway. So it can only come from a place of fresh start. You have to jettison the old ways of which you've been trying to do it and how you've been trying to come across all those things. It is an opportunity to begin again, and God recognizes this importance. And that is why He actually commanded fresh starts. Even in the Bible, you agree with me that God had to call Abraham and said, leave the country where you are. Go to a place where I will show you. It means probably maybe there are some entanglements where he is. Maybe things are weighing him down. Maybe circumstances, situations. You've been in one job. It means you are not making headway. You've been trying to get so many things done. It's not happening. So when you embark on a fresh start with the Lord, things can actually turn around. Because if you've been doing it this way and it's not working, then it means you have to do it another way. And that's a fresh start. Let's open our Bibles to Isaiah chapter 60. As we continue in the series of the month, which says a new beginning. Verse 1, it says, arise. That's an action word. Arise. Shine, for thy light is come, and the glory of the Lord is risen upon thee. I thought somebody would shout amen. Amen. The Lord is saying, arise, shine. So that means there is a place for you. There is a part for you to play in this, your fresh start, and in your quest to win through His grace. So you must arise. God gave instruction through Prophet Isaiah here to say, arise, O Israel, shine, for your light has come. So it means, yes, the light is come. Yes, they have the capacity to do it. But that means they must take a leap of faith. They must arise from wherever they are. They must stand and make sure that they embark on something new that will bring that thing to fruition. To arise is to get out of bed. So some people today, they go on fasting, maybe 180 days fasting, 90 days fasting, 50 days fasting. We're not saying fasting is not good, but then you are trusting the Lord to do what He has given you capacity to do, for God to come and do it for you. God is not the one that will mix those products together and take it to the marketplace to sell. He has given you that capacity to go and do it. So to arise is to get out of bed. Not bed in the literal sense, but in your place of complacency. The Lord is saying, get out of that comfort zone. To leave the place or state of rest. You can imagine they say that people who rest while their success is still ahead of them will never meet that success or will never achieve it. Or leave a sitting or lying posture or place of comfort. That is what the Lord is saying today to us, all of us this evening, to say, arise from that place of comfort. And because you can win that race, because you can get that thing you are looking unto God for. Let's open our Bibles to Exodus chapter 33 in verse 1. Exodus chapter 33 verse 1. And the Lord said unto Moses, depart, go, and go up hence, that thou and the people which thou hast brought up out of the land of Egypt, unto the land which I swore unto Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob, saying, unto thy seed will I give it. This is another instruction from the Lord telling Moses to say, you and the people that I have given to you, arise and go. Stand up and move from where you are. So there's an instruction for you this evening to say that maybe you've been complacent in some areas. Maybe you've just been sitting down in a particular position and you feel that you cannot take a leap of faith. Just look at the testimony of that our brother who, after the fifth experience, got his visa. If he had stopped at the fourth experience, I'm sure the story would have been different today. But he was resolute in his mind and he believed and he trusted God that he can actually achieve this thing. So this evening that we are talking about winning through grace. Grace is appropriately the free, unmerited love and favor of God, the spring and source of all the benefits men receive from him. So grace is something that we do not merit. Grace is the favor of God in our lives. Grace is what God has chosen. The Bible says that he said, I will have mercy on whom I will have mercy. I will show compassion on whom I will show compassion. So your prayer is that God, count me worthy and let me be counted among the people that you will have mercy upon. I pray that the Lord will show us mercy in Jesus' name. In Romans chapter 11, verse 6. Romans chapter 11, verse 6. And if by grace, then it is no more of works. So if it is by the grace of God, then you can't boast and say it is by my power, it is by my might. No at all. If it is by your own power, if you have limited yourself or your aspiration is what you can achieve by your own making, then you don't need God. But God is saying, if it's by grace, then it is no more of works. Otherwise, grace is no more grace. But if it be works, then it is no more grace. Otherwise, work is no more work. So what the Bible is telling us here is that there are certain things in life that it is only the grace of God that can take you there. An analogy is where we found ourselves today. Election is less than a month from now. And I'm sure as you're seated, some of us are even confused as to who to vote for. Is it Emilokan? Is it the Youth for Energy? Or is it the one that stays abroad? We are even confused to say, who do we vote for? The only thing we can say is to ask for the grace of God and say, God, come and choose for us. Today they just delivered another news from our exiled CBN governor who just returned. He just increased interest rate again by another 100 basis points. And people are beginning to wonder, is this man in tune with reality? Inflation is at 21%, all-time high. Unemployment is at 33%. Almost half of Nigeria is living below poverty line. Things are hard. But the Lord is saying today, you will win by his grace. You will win by his grace. Starting afresh with Christ is not a fruitless venture. So when you start afresh with Christ, it says if you identify with him, he has given us power to become sons and daughters of God. And as you are becoming sons and daughters with him, he has given you extraordinary power to accomplish things that seemingly look like it is impossible for us to achieve. We have been promised a co-chair of throne, hundredfold of what's lost, and everlasting life with Christ. If you open to Matthew chapter 19, verse 28 to 29, it says, and Jesus said unto them, verily I say unto you, that ye which have followed me, in the regeneration when the Son of Man shall sit in the throne of his glory, he also shall sit upon 12 thrones, judging the tribes of Israel. And everyone that has forsaken houses, or brethren, or sisters, or father, or mother, or wife, or children, or land, for my name's sake, shall receive an hundredfold and shall inherit everlasting life. What else do you want that is better than inheriting everlasting life? So God is saying, if you are forsaking anything for his sake, literally, when he's saying about family, it doesn't have to be that. Maybe things you are naturally supposed to be pursuing in life, you're forsaking all those things. You are here this evening listening to the word of God. You are here this evening assembled at his feet. You are forsaking something because there's an alternative for God of the options you would have made rather than coming to this place. And God is saying that he will not forget you. He says you inherit everlasting life. And I pray that our reward in his kingdom will not elude us in Jesus' name. To drive home this point to winning by his grace, we shall talk about three topics tonight. So the first topic on my agenda is what I call challenges of the battle. Challenges of the battle. If you will win, even through his grace, it doesn't mean that there are no challenges. There are challenges. Look at those soldiers. They are lying on snow. So some people will say, even for you to be inside snow, my friend in Canada said he's wearing like 5 clothes. There's a thermal wear, there's a t-shirt, there's another sweatshirt, almost 5. And look at these are soldiers. Battle, the challenges of the battle. Challenges of the battle. Exodus chapter 14, verse 10. Exodus chapter 14, verse 10. And when Pharaoh drew near, the children of Israel lifted up their eyes, and behold, the Egyptians marched after them. And they were so afraid, and the children of Israel cried out unto the Lord. They forgotten that it was God that brought them out of Egypt. Now they saw the Red Sea, and they saw the host of Egypt coming behind them. They were afraid. They started shouting. So, challenges of the battle. Number one, unfamiliar terrain. They got to an unfamiliar terrain. They are in between the Red Sea and the host of army of Egypt coming behind them. So they were afraid, thinking that they will be consumed by the host of army of Egypt, or they will be subsumed inside the water. They've forgotten. So here you are today. What is the unfamiliar terrain that you found yourselves? Have you done a business that you have not mastered before and you've ventured into it? Have you traveled to a country where you've never been before? It's an unfamiliar terrain. Or are you in a relationship that you don't even know the start or how it's going to end? That's an unfamiliar terrain. It could bring frustration, but the Lord is telling you today that he has the power and the capability to rescue you. Number two, under challenges of the battle, repeated failures. When you've tried things several times and it has failed, then you will think that, am I a failure? Am I supposed to try this thing again? But because you have tried and tried and tried, then it brings frustration. Nehemiah, let's open our Bibles to Nehemiah chapter 1, verse 3. In Nehemiah chapter 1 and verse 3. And they said unto me, the remnants that are left of the captivity there in the province are in great affliction and reproach. The wall of Jerusalem also is broken down, and the gate thereof are burned with fire. This is Jerusalem. They went to war, they were defeated, and they were taken captive. So they were giving account to Nehemiah to say everything is in disarray. People no longer can dwell or can rejoice in the land. Things has gone awful for them. So you can see the challenges of the battle. They want to serve God. They want to live as a decent people, but war has taken them captive. Repeated failure can cause you to be frustrated. Repeated failure can make you want to even doubt God. Look at Job, when the affliction was so much on him. Look at what he was saying. Even his friend says, curse God and die. At that point, there are different suggestions that will be coming to mind. Reverend just told us on Sunday that averagely, human beings think about almost 60 to 65,000 thoughts every day. And he said 85 or 80% of those thoughts are negative. So it means that we are battling with different issues. And the first thing that comes is defeat comes naturally. Failure comes naturally. And they always say that the only person who has failed is he who has stopped trying. So don't give in to failure. It is only when you stop trying, then you can say that you have failed. This account of Nehemiah, he went to them, he wanted to encourage his brothers in Jerusalem to say, we can take back our city. We can rebuild. But you can see the attitude of the people. They told him, the remnant that are left, they are in captivity and in the province of great affliction and reproach. They've lost hope. The same thing here today. I don't know how much you've bought your fuel this morning. Even apart from having the money to buy it, the queue you will suffer, you cannot imagine. I have somebody who said he queued from 8 a.m. till about 2. When it was his turn to get to the pump, he stopped selling. So what will he do? after queuing since 8 a.m. till about 2 p.m. and then they suddenly stopped and said, come back tomorrow. Imagine the frustration. Imagine repeated failure. It can make somebody think that, is there hope again for this country? Is there hope again in life? But God is saying today, don't mind all those failures. There is balm in Gilead that can heal. Number three, under battle challenges of the battle, skill gap. Skill gap. You know, you want to do so many things, and you discover that you don't even have the requisite skills to do some of these things. It could lead to frustration. It could make you want to believe that maybe I have lost the battle. And the moment you think that you've lost the battle before the battle, you're already a failure. It is about faith. It is about that positive emotions in you that project you out early in the morning to say you can get this thing done. But if you're already defeated in your house by the time you're waking up, there's nothing that you can achieve that morning, that day. Let's open our Bibles to 1 Samuel chapter 17, verse 23 to 24. This is an account of Goliath and David. In verse 23, and as he talked with them, behold, there came up the champion, the Philistine of Gath, Goliath by name. You see, when Goliath came out, he was dressed in his armor. He was very tall, looking at the army of the children of Israel. I said, look at all these rats. You see, they don't have the skill that Goliath has, because he's fought many battles and he has advantage over them. So you are also there. Do you have the requisite skill to project yourself forward in that business? The business venture you've gone into, some people are more skillful than you in that business. But it is not about that skill. It is the grace of God that will make you win in that transaction. So if you believe, if you rest your oars on the Lord, if you believe that he can guide you, because he is the one who knows the innermost part of man, even more than you know it. The person that is talking to you don't even know what is in their mind, but God can reveal the secret of man. Out of the armies of the Philistine, and speak according to the same word, and David heard them. Verse 24, and all the men of Israel, when they saw the man, fled from him. You see, they were so afraid. You don't have the skill to engage him. That's what happened. When U.S. started war with Iraq, the first set of armies that they sent to Iraq, they almost killed all of them, because it's an unfamiliar terrain with them, because they don't have the skill of the natives in the land until they had to study that place. So it happens in natural life also. When you don't have skill, the tendency for you to be afraid is there. The tendency for you to want to withdraw is there. And maybe that is the place you need to hit. It's just like the blacksmith. When they are hitting the iron, they are hitting it. It looks rough. It looks bad. But until they hit it to a point where it brings the beauty of that iron, if you don't get to that point, you won't get the benefit of what you are doing. So it is important for you to know that you could have a skill gap. It is important for you to know that you could look like you are weak and the enemy looks like he's very mighty. If you magnify God in your mind, it will overshadow the power of that enemy. Elijah told God and said, open the eyes of his servant Gehazi so that he can see the chariot of heaven that is with them. When he saw the armies of the enemy that surrounded them, he was afraid and said, Master, these people will kill us. But when God opened his eyes and he saw chariots of heaven on the horses of fire, confidence came back into him. So this is the same thing you need to also tap into today, to say, irrespective of the skill gap you have, irrespective of the disadvantaged position you have, if you put your trust in God, your winning is by his grace and not by your own power. Then another point under challenges of the battle is unhealthy competition. The land is full of unhealthy competition. It is winner takes all. The next person wants to hit the person. When you're at place of work, they want to pull you down so that they can get promotion. When you're in the marketplace, you want. My mom used, when she retired, so she said, ah, Kule, I can't just be sitting at home. We bought a shop for her in Gbagi. Let me go to Gbagi. By the time all those young girls, they will put their counter, you know, they would have been there by 7 a.m. She will still be coming by 10. They would have flooded her front, nowhere to even display her goods. I told her, I said, this competition, mommy, don't let them kill you. Just go back home. Don't worry. Unhealthy competition. It happens everywhere. You file in for a contract. Some people will go behind. They will pay the people in charge of that contract and say, reveal the highest bid for me. They just put their own on top of it, and then they win it. Unhealthy competition. It happens everywhere. People want to get job. They are paying bribe to get the job. Unhealthy competition. It happens everywhere. Let's open our Bibles to 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 21 to 23. Verse 21. And the eye cannot say unto the hand, I have no need of thee, nor again the head to the feet, I have no need of thee. Just imagine if the tongue says to the teeth that I don't need you. So how would food pass and go into you for you to be able to live? It tells you that even within your body, there is unhealthy competition. At times you just use your tongue or your teeth to bite your tongue and say, ah, it's painful. Unhealthy competition. It exists everywhere. Verse 22 says, nay, much more those members of the body which seem to be more feeble are necessary. And those members of the body which we think to be less honorable, upon those we bestow more abundant honor, and our uncomely parts have more abundant comeliness. So what this is trying to tell us, that as we are seated as children of God, don't let us exalt competition amongst ourselves. Unhealthy rivalry. You see somebody in church that you can patronize and go do business with, but you prefer to take it outside. I'm not saying you should jettison the place of competence. Yes, you evaluate, you review, and get to know the place of competence of that person. But at least you should give that person the first right of refusal. For example, maybe I have people who will be coming to town and want to spend some days. I should be able to think about Addis Hotel to say I should go and lodge my guests in that place. Let me get to Addis, and Addis says there's no room. At least I've given him a right of refusal before I can go to other places. That's the way to build our own ecosystem, not to promote unhealthy competition amongst ourselves. In the Lebanese community, they have always proven and found that their monies exchange amongst them about 7 times before it gets to an outsider. So it means if you're a Lebanese in Nigeria today, once you get your salary, it goes to shop in a Lebanese grocery shop. The Lebanese goes to buy beef from another Lebanese. They go to buy from another Lebanese. So the money would have turned around 7 times amongst them before it gets to an outsider. That is how to build wealth in their own community. Unhealthy competition exists everywhere. These are challenges of the battle. But let us try to overcome this as a child of God. In the house of God, let us promote ourselves. Let us encourage ourselves. Because the battle is to the outside, not within this house of God. I pray that the Lord will help us in Jesus' name. Let's quickly go to point number 2, commitment of the warrior. Commitment of the warrior. There are challenges in the battle. So as a warrior, you must be committed. Look at these soldiers. They are going to war. They don't know whether they will return home safely or they will die on the battlefield. But they've packed everything. They've committed to say, I am going. And the Bible says, anyone who lays his hand on the plow and looks back is not worthy of the job. So no man, having laid his hand on the plow and looking back, is fit for that job. These are the men. They are going to war and they are committed. So today, when you are looking for something, you want to win. How committed are you to that your assignment? How committed are you to what you are looking for? It is not just enough for you to wish. If wishes were horses, it says beggars will ride, because everybody would have wished that. I want to build my mansion in Banana Island. I want to ride a Rolls Royce. Those are wishes. And we are saying today that you can actually get all these things done if you have the right commitment. Number one, under commitment of the warrior, is your desire. Your desire. Desire is defined as the proportional attitude towards conceivable states of affairs. A strong feeling of wanting to have something or wishing for something to happen. Desire is different from want. When you desire something, God has given us that power, that the moment your mind is in tune with it, they said whatever the mind can conceive, it can achieve. Just recently, Saudi Arabia said they are going to build a city, the line. They call it the line. And it's going to house almost about 7 million people. They said from end, it's about 170 kilometer stretch. And they said from end to end, it will just take you 5 minutes to reach the other end. And it's going to be green, demarcated by glass, nose diving into the ocean. And if you see the pictorial diagram of this thing, it tells you that when you desire something, you can achieve it. When they desire to reclaim land in Lagos, where they call Eco Atlantic today, go back 10 years' time and see all the houses on Ahmadu Bello Way. They were all abandoned houses. People ran away because the bad beach was affecting them. But somebody thought and conceived and said, we can reclaim land here. And they reclaimed 5 million cubic meters of land in that place, Eco Atlantic today. Their selling per square meter is about $3,000 per square meter in that place today. It tells you that when you desire something, you can achieve it. Desire, fuels the passion to get things achieved. Determination. Before I go to determination, let's look at Psalm 37, verse 4, under desire. It says, delight thyself also in the Lord, and he shall give thee the desires of thy heart. So if you delight yourself in the Lord says he will give you the desires of your heart. Then point number two under this topic is determination. Determination is a positive emotion, emotional feeling that involves preserving towards a difficult goal in spite of obstacles. So when you are determined, you desire to get something. But then when you are determined to get it, there will be obstacles. We just spoke about challenges of the battle. But we are talking about commitment of the warrior now. So there must be a level of determination that will make you scale up the obstacles that will come your way. Determination occurs prior to goal attainment and serves to motivate behavior that will help achieve one's goal. It is an absolute direction to a certain end. When you are determined to get it, it's just like when a young man is determined to suit a lady, he will go after. If the lady says no, 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 he will still go back again. He will not mind all the shame because he knows what is won. He has seen a precious value and he says, I may have this virtue to me. So he will continue to go after. It's when you are also wanting something from the Lord, that determination will make you do anything. If it means fasting, if it means praying, jumping up, jumping down, because you want to get it, no matter the obstacle, because you are determined, you will get it. In Acts chapter 1, verse 8, this is when Jesus Christ was going, and he promised that the Holy Spirit will come. He said, but ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you. When he went, the power didn't just come. They all had to gather and waited and started praying. They were praying until the power of the Holy Spirit came upon them. It was because they were determined. They could have prayed for one day and said, this power didn't come. Let's just go. Maybe he has forgotten us. He has ascended to heaven. We'll see him later in the future. But they waited. And ye shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost part of the earth. It was because they waited. It was because they were determined to get it. And God sent the Holy Spirit, which we are all beneficiaries today. Another one is dedication. How dedicated are you to your goal? How dedicated are you to your passion? How dedicated are you to your job? They give you a job. Are you refining yourself? When they say, this is how to do this, are you making researches of how to be better? Are you making conscious effort how to be better than what competition is doing? Because if there's no unique selling proposition in what you are projecting, in what you are selling, nobody will patronize you. And then you come back and say, we didn't even sell. Church members did not patronize. Why will they patronize you when there are other people who will do it better than you are doing it and at a cheaper rate? And then you want them to bring their hard-earned money that they went to borrow at CBN escalated rate to come and patronize you? It will not happen. It comes from a place of dedication. You have to be dedicated to your goal. Dedication is a feeling, a very strong support for or loyalty to someone or something. The quality or state of being committed to a person, group, or cause. So that is dedication. When you are dedicated to something, people will not find you wanting. When you are dedicated, you don't need anybody to prompt you to say, it is 7 a.m., let's go to church. When you are dedicated to the work of God, God rewards every service. What you are doing, you are not doing it for man. You are not doing it for the reverend. You are not doing it for your brother. You are doing it for yourself because the reward lies in heaven. And God, who sees the heart of man, will reward you accordingly. Last point under this one is diligence. 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 How diligent are you? We spoke about desire. We talked about determination, dedication, and then diligence. Diligence as carefulness and persistent effort or work. When you see someone who is diligent, they get it done. They don't give excuses. Irrespective of how tight the schedule is, they get things done. It's one of the seven heavenly virtues. It is indicative of a work ethics. They believe that work is good in itself. You know, some people, they work because they want to make ends meet. We all have different priorities. Some people go to work because they want to pay bills. Some people don't even see that work in itself is good. Do you understand? And that's why there's an adage that says there's dignity in labor. Just imagine when you wake up in the morning and you go out, you sweat, you walk. By the time you're coming back home, you feel a sense of joy or fulfilling that, yes, I have worked today. As against someone who wakes up in the morning, goes to the office, and you slept all through because the employer is not around. Ogota, ogota. You won't have a sense of fulfillment by the evening, because when you sleep too much, then you become tired. And then you are asking yourself, what have I even gained today? And the way you've done another man's job is the way they will do your job. And that's the way you will lie on it. So when promotion comes and you are not getting it, they are the first set of people that will grumble. When God is blessing people, they are the first set of people that will grumble. Brother Wilcox came here and said he got a job that ordinarily anybody above 40 would not have gotten that kind of job. That is the grace of God. That is in the place of diligence. If he's not diligent, for him to become ICANN chairman in the chapter where he is in Lagos, I'm telling you, it's not a joke. It's not for free. There are people who are weightier, who are mightier, who has the means and the ways. But God, in his infinite mercy, rewards our work. And if you serve him wholeheartedly, God will reward you. So diligence, exertion of the body or mind, without unnecessarily delay or sloth. Let's open our Bibles to Luke chapter 12, verse 58. I'll quickly read. When thou goest with thy adversary to the magistrate, listen to this. When you go with your adversary to the magistrate, as thou art in the way, give diligence that thou mayest be delivered from him, lest he hail thee to the judge, and the judge deliver thee to the officer, and the officer cast you in prison. You want to enter into agreement or a partnership with someone. You said it's a brother in our church. You are not diligent about dotting the I's and crossing the T's. You are drawing a contract, a very slothful contract, and you put yourself inside trap. At the end of the day, they now cheat you in the business. You now say, and he's a brother. Were you diligent when the contract was drawn? Did you read the terms of the contract? When you are going into a partnership with something, or you are trying to engage somebody, even the Bible is saying here, when you go with your adversary to the magistrate, he said, be diligent, be watchful, so that he won't just be hailing you and then sell you to the magistrate and then they put you in prison. I pray that the Lord will help us in Jesus' name. Let's quickly go to the last point, capacity to conquer. Capacity to conquer. We started from challenges of the battle, commitment of the warrior, and now capacity to conquer. God has given us that capacity. The Lord has given us capacity to conquer. In Philippians chapter 4, verse 19, don't mind what the world economy is saying. He said, but my God shall supply all your needs according to his riches in glory through Christ Jesus. What other blank check do you need? If God says, but my God, that means for that person to say, but my God, they must have risen to a particular level. And they now came to a conclusion to say, but my God shall supply all your needs. You are not saying amen. May I say amen to it? According to his riches in glory, there is nobody richer than God on earth. Even Bill Gates, Elon Musk, they are not as rich as God, because it's God who gave them the power to acquire that wealth. In Isaiah chapter 60 and verse 2, he said, for behold, the darkness shall cover the earth, and gross darkness the people, but the Lord shall arise upon you, and his glory shall shine upon you. The Lord says it will arise upon you, and his glory will shine upon you. So whatever the siege that is covering you tonight, receive the word of the Lord. He said his glory shall rise and shine upon you. It shall remove all the siege, all the stumbling block on your way to progress. It is rolled back right now. As the tomb of Jesus was rolled back, the stumbling block is rolled back from your ways in Jesus' name. In Daniel chapter 3, verse 27, and the princes, governors, and captains, and the king's counselor, being gathered together, saw this man, upon whose bodies the fire had no power. Do you know what happened there? Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, they were serving God. And they decreed, some people conspired against them and said, threw them inside fire. So they thought they were going to kill them. But the fire had no effect on them. Fire of the world will not have effect on you in Jesus' name. No power of the enemy. The Bible says, when the enemy shall come like a flood of water, it said the Spirit of the Lord shall raise standard against them. Every flood of water that the enemy has sent to you, the Lord will raise standard against them tonight in Jesus' name. In verse 10 of Isaiah 60, he said, and the sons of strangers shall build thy wall, and the sons of strangers shall build your businesses, and the sons of strangers shall bring prosperity unto you. The Lord is telling you tonight, and their kings shall minister unto thee. Imagine when kings are ministering unto you. That means unmerited favor will continue to just attend your way. And the Lord will do it for you in Jesus' name. For in my wrath I smote thee, but in my favor have I had mercy on thee. The Lord will have mercy on you tonight in Jesus' name. In 1 Samuel chapter 17, verse 46. Verse 46 says, this day will the Lord deliver thee into my hands, and I will smite thee and take thy head from thee, and I will give the carcasses of the host of Philistine this day unto the fowls of the air and to the wild beasts of the field, that all the earth may know that there is God in Israel. This is David speaking after he has defeated Goliath. Remember, they had a skill gap. They could not face that Goliath. But when the God showed up for Israel, just five smooth stones, it was only one that he even used. Goliath ran towards him and he flew that sling and it went to his head, and the Lord delivered him. As David has said, that this day the Lord will deliver thee into my hands. The Lord will deliver your enemies into your hands in Jesus' name. Every plan against you, the Bible says it is not of the Lord and it shall not stand. Every evil plan against you will not stand in Jesus' name. Remember, he has given you that capacity to conquer, and you'll be a conqueror in Jesus' name. In Isaiah chapter 60, and verse 18. Now this is for Nigeria. It says, violence shall no more be heard in thy land. Violence will no longer be heard in our lands in Jesus' name. In all our dwelling places we shall dwell in safety. He said, wasting not destruction within thy borders. In our borders, all kidnappers will chase them out in the mighty name of Jesus Christ. But thou shalt call thy walls of salvation and thy gate praise. Salvation will be unto you in Jesus' name. Our gate will be praised in Jesus' name. Nigeria will rise from doldrum, and we shall be envied again among the nation in Jesus' name. So today, God has given you that power to conquer. He is the same Lord who parted the Red Sea for the children of Israel. So what is that trouble that you think is too much that will swallow you? I'm telling you, if the Red Sea did not swallow the children of Israel, the Lord parted that Red Sea. He will part your Red Sea in Jesus' name. He healed the woman with the issue of blood. 12 years. Physicians could not heal her. Her money could not bring medication. But the Lord, she touched the hem of his garment, and she was healed that self same hour. He's still the same God. He's alive today. He will heal you in all your ailments in Jesus' name. He is the invisible hand that brought out axe from the depth of the sea. You know how heavy axe is. He went into the sea. They prayed unto him. He said, dip a stick into that sea. And they dip a stick, and the axe came up. So what is that your blessing? Your expectation that is sinking. The Lord will bring it out today in Jesus' name. They threw Daniel into the den of lions. God shut the mouth of lions. There is a man that said he wanted to go to, is it UI? He wants to command the lions. He wants to repeat what Daniel did. We all knew what happened. Where the power of God is not existent. But today, because God has given you that capacity to conquer, he will shut the mouth of lions. Lions in businesses, lions in competition, lions in your workplaces, lions in your area, in your family, who wants to devour you, the Lord will shut their mouth in the mighty name of Jesus Christ. Ezekiel was sick and he was almost dying. And he told him, gather your house, you will die. But he prayed, and the Lord sent back the prophet and said, tell him, I've added 15 more years. So what is it that you are thinking about? The Lord can add to your years. The Lord will make you grow old in good old age, and you will enjoy the fruit of your labor. Just believe, because he has given you that capacity to conquer. So arise and shine. Thank you very much.